You're listening to the Ministry 127 podcast, a complimentary resource for today's spiritual leader. The purpose of Ministry 127 is to aid Christians in developing a biblical philosophy of ministry. Ministry 127 is a growing online library aimed at assisting ministry workers with Bible-based resources and is a ministry of Pastor Paul Chapel, the Lancaster Baptist Church, and West Coast Baptist College. For more information, visit ministry127.com and subscribe to the Ministry 127 podcast for more practical lessons for today's Christian worker. Today's lesson is about seasonal planning tips for effective music ministry with John Guy. John is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College and currently serves as the music ministry director of Lancaster Baptist Church. Now let's see what we can learn about seasonal planning for effective music ministry.
If you have your Bibles, open up, if you would, to Proverbs 30. I'd like to share just a verse with you by way of introduction. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 25. Proverbs 30, verse 25. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. What stands out about the ant is their preparation. And I mentioned some even yesterday, and I'll continue to emphasize today because it's really the foundation for music ministry, and that's planning, preparation, and detail. Following through on the plans that you've made and following through on those details. But as we take a look at this topic of seasonal planning and some basic practical tips for music ministry, understand this first. As music directors, we need to pastor our music ministry. And what I mean by that is really own it and give that oversight to it. Just as your pastor would plan and prepare his messages, maybe for a few months at a time or for a season of the year, he'll prepare a series maybe on the family, or he'll prepare certain messages around Christmas or around Easter, and he'll theme different parts of his preaching series. In the same way, we need to be planning and preparing for the music ministry to go right along with his preaching series, or to go right along with the season of ministry that the church is in at any particular time. Someone once said, it pays to plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Planning will save you a lot of time. Planning will save you a lot of frustration. It will make your job a lot easier and more enjoyable, and it will make the ministry much more enjoyable, even for those who are serving alongside of you as volunteers, the planning and the preparation. I want to give you a quote here. Wikipedia gave this quote for planning. It says, planning is both the organizational process of creating and maintaining a plan, and the psychological process of thinking about the activities required to create a desired goal on some scale. As such, it is a fundamental property of intelligent behavior. I like that phrase there. This thought process is essential to the creation and refinement of a plan or integration of it with other plans. That is, it combines forecasting of developments with the preparation of scenarios of how to react to them. You see, it's one thing to say we're going to have a Christmas musical, but it's another thing to actually do it. There are really two parts to planning, and even laid out in this definition here. First of all, you have the vision. There is the brainstorming. There is sitting down and saying, okay, I'm going to put together a music schedule. Or I'm going to rearrange maybe the flow of the service. Maybe deciding to do things a little bit differently, or the order of the cue card. Making a decision to say, hey, let's do a musical this year. Let's do a little bit more than just sing a couple of songs, but let's put some narration with it, or let's put a little drama with it. It could be the decision to add an orchestra. That's a big decision for a church to do. And you may begin to think, well, you know, who do we have, and some of the process there. But the vision is really the brainstorming process, where you just sit down and a lot of it's just kind of taking notes and scratching some things on a piece of paper, and what can we do to better our music ministry? So that's one side to planning, that brainstorming and just being visionary about it. And by the way, a music director needs to have vision. Just as a pastor is going to have vision for the church, and just as the pastor is going to have vision for the direction he wants to lead the people, a music director, with the consent and the help and the leading of the senior pastor, should have vision for the music ministry as well. The second part to planning is the details. So you have the vision, you have the decision to put together a music schedule, but then you have the details to actually sit down and plan out the music and plan out the groups and plan out which special is going to be done on which day. You have the vision to say, let's do a musical this year, but then you have the details and the follow-through to actually put together a team of people, to put together a schedule, to start practicing the music, to order the music, to start practicing the music, and to really put that plan into action. You have the decision to maybe put together a new ensemble, but then there's the detail of putting together a list of potential singers that you would draw, maybe from your choir, and then deciding what music they're going to sing, and putting together a practice time, getting a piano player, finding a room, putting all of those details together. So really, planning is two parts. You have the visionary aspect, and then you have the details that allow that vision to actually come to a reality. And a music director needs to work at both of these. It's going to be frustrating to volunteers if, as a music director, you have only vision, because all it is just talk. Let's do this year. Oh, well, you said that last year. It's going to be frustrating to volunteers. So we need to have both the vision and the desire to continue pressing forward, but then the details and really asking the right questions and following through on those details. The definition went on to say there are two attitudes to planning that need to be held in tension. On the one hand, we need to be prepared for what may lie ahead, which may mean contingencies and flexible processes. But on the other hand, our future is shaped by the consequences of our own planning and actions. What that's saying is this: on one side, we can plan and prepare, but music ministry is never set in stone. Things are always going to fluctuate and change. There will always be some last-minute changes. Something is going to fall apart at the last minute. Somebody gets sick. Somebody doesn't show up. The piano player goes out of town and forgot to tell you until Saturday morning. Whatever it might be. But then on the other side, if we have poor planning habits, we only have ourselves to blame when everything falls apart. So there are those two parts that need to be held in tension. I'm reminded of the quote, "Everything rises or falls on leadership." And as the leader of the music ministry, as the music director, music coordinator, however you may help to facilitate the music ministry, you are offering that leadership to those who are serving in your music ministry. And it's our job to have the vision, but also the detail to make sure that vision is happening. Let's take a look today at three areas where we need to focus our attention on planning. Number one, planning for the calendar. Planning for the calendar. Let me mention briefly, I mentioned yesterday the yearly music schedule. And this is something that I put together in the fall, where I'll sit down and map out the entire music schedule for the next year. And what that does is it gets me years ahead. I mean, it seems that just that the way that I can get a big picture of the music ministry and make sure that I have a good balance and make sure that I have enough creativity there within the structure of the music schedule. If I'm constantly waiting to the last minute to put together a music schedule, I'll end up using the same groups. I'll end up using the same songs. There won't be that balance and the structure to it. And so I'll put together that the next year's music schedule sometime in August or September. But then once you've done that, or really as you're doing that, as you're planning for that calendar, letter A, you need to see the big picture. And what I mean by that is your church is going to go through different seasons of ministry. Some of them are listed there in your notes. It might be a revival meeting. It might be something like a celebration Sunday, or something where you have a big offering or an emphasis on giving. It might be a service where you're celebrating the Lord's table, maybe Mother's Day or Father's Day. Easter is certainly a time of the year that you want to be thinking about and planning for. A God and Country Sunday, or a patriotic emphasis in maybe July or the last week of June. Harvest time. We celebrate a harvest time in October, and that's kind of a real fall festive type of a season. And I want to be planning the music properly for that season. Missions, open house or a big day, Thanksgiving and Christmas. These are various different seasons that as I am planning that schedule, I want to be keeping in mind. I don't just want to kind of put any old song, any old place on the calendar as I'm planning the next year's schedule, because I need to realize when we actually get to that time on the calendar, we'll be going through a certain season in the church. And I want to make sure the music is in line with that season. So we need to understand the big picture, really see the big picture of that. Let's talk through some of these events here. And if you want to jot down some, maybe a couple of thoughts next to each one of these, just some things that I try to keep in mind when I'm planning for each one of these seasonal events. If it's a revival meeting, we have our revival every January, the last week of January. As you're planning for a revival meeting, you want to be choosing songs that are geared for the heart. And the songs that, hymns maybe that are more consecrative. Songs like More Love to Thee or Take My Life and Let It Be. We don't like to use a lot of music during our revival. Really what our pastor likes is one good, strong, consecrative solo before the message. And that's really all the music other than a choir and a few congregational songs. We don't have a lot of groups and a lot of extra special things and videos and presentations during our revival meeting. We want to get right to the preaching. And so I want to keep that in mind as I'm planning that. Yes?
So when you plan ahead, you mentioned September for the following year. That's with the music and everything on paper?
Yes. What that is, it's not every song. The only songs that I'll put on that schedule are the choir songs. I have a list, and I can show you afterwards if you like some of the documents that I use and how I actually go about doing that in a little more detail. But I'll schedule all of the choir openers and choir songs, and then all of the groups. I'm not actually putting group songs on the music schedule until about one or two months out. That's when I'm actually putting music on the schedule for various different groups. But the choir songs are laid out a year in advance. So that's a good question, though. But if you'd like to see some of that, I can show you that just afterwards. So for a revival meeting, just keeping in mind that the focus of that service is the preaching of the Word of God. And that's the whole service is streamlining toward that message. And so songs that are more towards the heart and consecrated. For something like a celebration Sunday or a time when you would have a big offering, you want music that's very strong and uplifting. Music that draws people to have faith in God and to trust the Lord. A few hymns that would be along these lines, something like Trust and Obey, Faith is the Victory, Victory in Jesus. You want to have maybe a good solid trio or a quartet sing something that's just real stirring and challenging, a powerful solo before the message. Keeping some of those things in mind as you're headed towards the message that's going to end up leading into an offering, a time of giving. A Lord's Table service. We have obviously more than one Lord's Table a year, but as we're doing our Lord's Table, the songs that I'm choosing are really geared towards the sacrifice of Christ, the cross of Christ, songs that are a little more meditative in nature. The music might not be as strong and powerful when we have the Lord's Table. I like to use more instrumental music, maybe during the offering, maybe just depending on the type of instruments that you have in your church, maybe a string quartet or even a violin and piano duet, something like that. If you have a flautist or somebody who can play an instrument along with the piano, having something a little more instrumental. And then actually during the Lord's Table, we plan and prepare to have special music during the actual Lord's Table, and it's always instrumental. We'll have something, we've had trumpet solos with the piano, we've had just the piano playing solos throughout the Lord's Table, we've had string quartets, we've had string duets with the piano, things like that. And so planning that music for the Lord's Table. Something like Mother's Day or Father's Day. These are always fun times because you can be a little more creative on Mother's Day and Father's Day. I like to try to find maybe a mother and a daughter to sing on Mother's Day. This past Father's Day, we had a Brother Wall and his three boys sang. They sang a quartet Sunday morning. And so it was special. It had a little extra creativity to it because it was actually for Father's Day. Another thought, too, for a Mother's Day or Father's Day is to use children. It's always appropriate to use a children's ensemble or even a children's choir if you have something like that on a special day like Mother's Day and Father's Day. For Easter, again, something powerful, something uplifting, celebrative, songs about the cross, songs about the resurrection. Something to keep in mind, songs that are in a complex meter, which would be a 6-8, a 9-8, a 12-8, they always tend to be a little more celebrative. Those are good songs to look for Easter. We have a song called the Resurrection Hymn, and it's in one of those complex meters, and it just has that real celebrative, festive sound to it. And those are good songs for Easter. Something patriotic, like a God and Country Sunday. Songs that remind us of our heritage as a nation. It's always appropriate, obviously, on those songs to sing something like God Bless America and My Country Tis of Thee, and just reminding our people of how God has blessed the heritage of our nation. Harvest time. I mentioned harvest time. I'm just kind of going through various different days that we have on our calendar and some of the styles and songs that I'm thinking about and looking for these times. Our harvest time is, for our pastor, he likes more of the Southern style songs, like we sang this morning, The Sun's Coming Up in the Mornings. Songs like that. I'm just going to load the cue card with songs like that during our harvest time. It's always appropriate to have something like a men's quartet sing a song with just some good, strong four-part harmony. Make sure you get a good bass in there, too, to hit those low notes. It kind of gets you in the spirit for pumpkins and spices and all kinds of things and whatever you do during harvest time. It's good, too, if you have a group of folks in your church who can play guitars, strings, banjos, things like that. We've got a guy in our church who plays the harmonica. And we like to put together a group like that for our preludes for those services, just to kind of play things like Brethren We've Met to Worship and some of those upbeat Southern style songs they played for the preludes and the postludes. We've had all kinds of instruments play. I don't even know what all of them are called, mandolins and all sorts of stuff that we'll put into those groups and try to pull those groups together. That would be for our harvest time. For a missions conference. Missions conference, if you have a missions conference that's more than just a Sunday, you want to get as much music and as many people involved as you can. Obviously, you're going to have people coming back on Monday and Tuesday or and Wednesday, or if you have it at the end of the week, you have them coming back on multiple days. You don't want the same group to be singing over and over again. This is a good time, again, to use children's choirs, children's ensembles. It's a good time to... One of the things that we have, we used to have what we called our Filipino choir. We have a large Filipino congregation in our church, and so we would get them all together, and they'd wear their outfits, and they'd get up there, and they'd sing, and it was always a blessing. It was always neat to see. Well, this year, we expanded that into an international choir. We had all kinds of people asking, why do you have a Filipino choir, and you don't have this kind of choir, and this kind of... So we just said, all right, we're going to have an international choir. And wear your outfits, whatever you have. And we have folks from Nigeria, and they come. The ladies come in their big headdresses, and their fancy outfits, and all the rest of it. And the Filipinos join, and folks from we don't let the people from Ireland wear their kilts, but no, just joking. But folks come from all. We have all different ethnicities in our church, obviously, and so it's a great opportunity for them to get involved, and it just makes them feel a little extra special that they can have that part. And so it might take a little extra time and a little extra effort to coordinate something like that, but it's always worth it. And it's certainly very fitting and appropriate at a missions conference to have something like that. Sing songs at a missions conference that challenge hearts with the need to reach the lost. It almost goes without saying, but I've been at meetings where even the hymns that were chosen just didn't really have anything to do with the conference. They were just random hymns that were chosen. And really make sure that the songs that are chosen are prayerfully considered and properly chosen and fitting with the music that's before and after it. Try to really work everything together in that service so that it really looks like you planned the service and prepared it with that specific service in mind. For something like an open house or a big day when you're inviting the community in and with a strong soul-winning emphasis that week before, have a little extra music. When you have a lot of guests in a service, they music really just prepares their heart for the preaching. And what it does really is it takes down their guard. If they hear music that's well prepared and that speaks to their heart and is just encouraging, even if they're lost, good Christian music can be encouraging even to a lost person. But as they hear that music and they hear your choir and they see the folks smiling and they hear the good harmony and they hear that nice, encouraging, powerful solo before the message, their guard and their maybe the thoughts that they had about your church and what it was going to be like and even those maybe the false ideas that maybe they had about your church, that those walls are coming down through the music ministry. It's preparing their heart for the preaching and, of course, the gospel. So maybe have a little extra music. Music, again, that's well prepared. Music about Christ and His love and the cross. Certain songs are not always fitting for Open House Sunday. That might not be the appropriate service to sing a song that's the certain songs that come to my mind, a song like The Old Account Was Settled. That's a good song, but that's probably not a Sunday morning open house song. Just because the terminology in the song is something that someone who was raised in church and saved a while, they would understand. But a lost person, they just don't understand the old account was settled. What does that mean? Sing songs that are familiar. Amazing Grace, At the Cross, At Calvary. Songs that they would know and that they would be able to sing along with. As much as possible, obviously you're inviting a lot of lost people to a service like that, so there will be songs that they don't know. But if you can sing songs that they at least know the tune to, or maybe they heard when they went to Sunday school as a kid, it will help them to feel more a part of the service. But if they come in and they don't know any song, and no tune sounds familiar, and they don't really even know what's going on, they're going to just kind of be turn inward and not open up their heart to the message. So it's important to choose the songs wisely for a service like that. A service like Thanksgiving. I always like Thanksgiving. It's a time to be very thankful, obviously. Songs that are maybe a little more meditative and help us to remember our salvation and the things that God has done for us. We like to use children around Thanksgiving. That's another appropriate time just to get children up. This past year, we did a children's ensemble with an adult ensemble. And it's just always fun to be able to use the children whenever you can. But Thanksgiving is always an appropriate time for that. And then the last one I jotted down here was Christmas. That one's a little self-explanatory. But Christmas is always a good time to pull out that music that you weren't able to use all year long. And there are always those favorites that you probably have in your church, as we have in ours, those special solos that you like to bring out at Christmas time and just get folks in the spirit of Christmas and thankful for what the Lord has done. So that was just kind of a brief overview of some of the thoughts some of the thought process that would go into various different days on the calendar. And as you're planning the big picture, be aware of those seasons as they're approaching. Letter B, file music all year. I mentioned this yesterday, but I want to mention it again. File music all year. Don't wait until that season comes to find music for that season. Like I had mentioned, we have our revival meeting at the end of January. Well, I probably don't want to be looking for revival music the 1st of January. That's because what's going to happen is I'm just going to end up settling for whatever I find first. What I want to do is, as I am listening to music even throughout the year, if I find a song that I think would be fitting for revival, fitting for maybe our harvest time, fitting for Easter, I want to file it. I want to have a system where I have some kind of a filing system, whether it be a hard copy system where you file it, or I have two systems that I file, a filing cabinet and then also a playlist file on my computer for the MP3s and the actual songs. But if you're waiting till the last minute, you're going to have a tough time finding those songs. And you want just the right song for those special services. Just about 2 weeks ago, I was sorting music for Christmas. Sounds kind of funny, people who walk by my office and they hear Christmas music, you know, in the middle of July. But I don't want to wait until December to be sorting Christmas music. I want to be filing music all year. I hope that even at this conference, you'll hear a song or two that you think, well, we could use that. And if you do, let me know. I'll let you know where we found it and how you can get a hold of it. But everywhere I go, I'm listening for music and I'm listening for songs that we could use. And I'm trying to think what group, what soloist could use that song? What service would that fit in? Is that a Sunday morning song? Is that a Sunday night song? Is that a Wednesday night song? Is there a special service like a missions conference or a big day where we could use that song? Be filing music all year round. That'll make your life a lot easier so that you're not rushing around at the last minute. Yes?
And as you're building your repertoire and finding new material, do you automatically file it by season?
The filing, there are actually two ways that the filing cabinet works. I have all of my groups, all of my ensembles, groups, and soloists. So if I find a song that I think would be fitting for a certain group, I'll file it in their file. But then I also have the seasons, the Christmas, the Easter, missions, and so forth, patriotic. So if I find a song that I think this will just be good for, for next July, for the 4th of July, well, I don't want to necessarily give it to a group right now, because by the time I come around the calendar again, I may have different groups, or I may listen to it again and it may sound better for a different group. I may have a different feel for it, 9 or 10 months from now. So I'll just file it in the patriotic file as opposed to the actual group file. But if I come across a song and I say, this will just work great for this certain trio on a Sunday morning, well, I'm just going to put it right in their file, the actual group file. So the filing system actually has two types of files, either the group or the season. So that's how I work that. Okay, let's move on here. Let's move on to the second one. Not just planning for the calendar, but number two, planning for the preaching. Planning for the preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." And I use that verse just to say this. Preaching is the main focus of every service. Preaching is the reason we come to church. If your church didn't have any music and all they had was preaching, it'd still be worth coming. But we want to be planning for the preaching. Because we have the music ministry, we don't want music to just be a filler. We don't want music to take up the first 20 minutes for those who come late, you know, so they can get there on time for the preaching. We want music to be planned. We want music to be on purpose. And we want music to be planned to be leading up to the preaching service, because that is the main focus of every service. So how can we plan for the preaching? Letter A, know your pastor's patterns for preaching. Know your pastor's patterns for preaching. Your pastor may preach at different times of the year on different topics. Our pastor every January is going to be preaching on revival in the family. So I know that. As I'm planning my calendar, I know that when January comes, he's going to be preaching on revival. Really, it's going to be the family leading up to revival at the end of January. So I want to be thinking along those lines. I know that in March, February, the end of February, the beginning of March, it's going to be stewardship. He's always preaching on giving because we have our celebration Sunday when we take up our yearly offering. And he's challenging the people in the area of stewardship. Well, I want to be aware of that because the songs I'm going to choose are going to be about the faithfulness of God, about having faith in God, about seeking God. I want to make sure that I'm planning accordingly. I don't want to be picking a Thanksgiving song and plugging it in at the end of February. That's not going to go along with the preaching. It's a good song, and it's certainly a Thanksgiving song is good anytime. It's good to be thankful. But if I want to be planning properly for the message, I want to know my pastor's patterns for preaching. It might be a soul winning emphasis. For us, it's in the fall. There's always a strong soul winning emphasis leading into October. So I want to be sorting for music that has to do with going out and reaching the lost. Just the other day, somebody emailed me a song that had to do with soul winning. And so I've got it on my notations there to order that as soon as this conference is over and I can catch my breath. I'm going to order that song and I'm going to file it because October's coming. And I want to be ready and have some songs that deal with soul winning and reaching people. It might be missions. For us, again, that's October as well. You may have your missions conference at a different time of the year. But you want to know your pastor's patterns for preaching. And he may have certain times of the year. Maybe he has a prophecy series that he does every year or again, something on the family or whatever it might be. Understand your pastor's patterns for preaching so that you can plan accordingly. But then letter B, you want to think it through. You want to think it through. The best way to think it through is to ask questions. Ask yourself questions. At the beginning, I mentioned how that planning has two parts. It has vision and then it has detail. There's a time to be visionary. There's a time to say, okay, let's try something new. But then there's the planning and the preparation process. How am I going to take that vision and actually make it work? This thinking it through process is really the details of the planning ministry. When planning for a special service, let me kind of walk you through some of the questions that I try to ask myself to end up with the right end result. I'm asking myself questions like this. What type of song do I want to use? We went through some of that under that first point. What is the service? Do I want a consecrative song? Do I want a powerful song? Do I want a celebrative song? Do I want a song that speaks to the heart? Do I want a song that focuses my attention on the cross? What kind of a song do I want to use for this service? Another question, should a group sing the song or should a soloist sing the song? Some songs just work better with a group than they do with a solo. Some songs work better with an ensemble as opposed to the choir. When I'm looking for music for the choir, I want to choose songs, choose music that has very predictable timing, predictable rhythms, predictable part movements, that not real difficult chord structures and so forth. If I do have a song like that, it means I could probably use it with a trio or a quartet that's maybe a little more musically inclined, and they could pick out some of those parts a little bit better. So I'm asking myself these questions. I've got a service. I have a song. I need to choose the right group for that song. Which group or soloist should sing it? If I decide that a group should sing it, well, which group? Is that fitting for a ladies' trio or is that fitting for a men's quartet? Certain songs work better with certain groups. Certain songs work better with ladies singing it as opposed to men singing it, or maybe a mixed group singing it. So I'm asking myself some of these questions. I'm trying to think through this process. Do I need to order music, and how much? Most of the time, the answer is yes, you need to order music. Well, how much music? Well, is it a quartet? If it's a quartet, you're going to need to order at least 5 copies, enough for the quartet and your piano player. If it's an ensemble, how many are in the ensemble? You may have more than one piano player. You may have a keyboard who plays along with the piano player. So you need to be thinking, well, I've got 12 in the group. I've got a piano player. I've got a keyboardist. So that's 14. And then I probably want a couple of backup copies because music walks off. So I need to order 15, 16, 18, whatever it might be. Just thinking it through, thinking through this process a little bit. By the way, let me just say this. Don't take an octavo and just copy 12 copies of it. That's illegal, really. And as Christians, we want to be honest about that. And I know it's tempting sometimes. You want to just copy it and save some money, but really, really do the right thing with that and order the right number of copies. Even if I have a soloist singing a song, and maybe I'll get an octavo in a choral club, I try to order 2 or 3 of them so that I have one for the piano player, one for the synthesizer, and a couple of backups. So I always want to make sure I have enough music. That I would ask myself as I'm thinking it through. When does the group or the soloist need the music? You want to give them enough time to learn it. Who's going to accompany the group? Brother Fox mentioned in his session just before this one, you don't want to overuse a pianist. You don't want to use the same piano player for every group. If you only have one, then at that point you pray for strength, right? as much as possible, if you do have a few piano players, and even if you have one piano player who plays for the service, you don't necessarily want to have every piano player play for the group in the service. But some piano players can practice with a group. And then your regular piano player, your service piano player, could play for the group when they're in the service. Some piano players are good at just kind of plunking out notes, and they can help them through a practice. So if you're able to find a few people like that, that helps. You don't want to put all the pressure on one person, if possible. And that'll always be an encouragement to the piano player as well, if you have a few. So, And then the final question I wrote down here, which I've already touched on, what hymns would go along with this song? And that's very important to me, that the hymns would line up with the music, that it's themed, and that there's a consistent flow through that cue card as you're putting it together. Letter C. Get your pastor's approval. You're planning for the preaching, it'd be a good thing to get his approval. you want to make sure that you're submitting the cue cards to him, submitting a schedule to him ahead of time, making sure that there are no surprises. I mail out the next month's schedule on the 15th of the month prior. And so before I do that, I hand in the schedule to Pastor Chappell. And he looks over it and he'll put some comments and he'll ask, why isn't this person on the schedule, or move this group down here, or whatever it might be. He has a big picture that I don't always have as the pastor of the ministry here. And so always submit it to your pastor. Always get his approval. And then let me just say this too. Learn your pastor's music preferences. He should only have to say a couple of times, I don't like that group. or they need extra practice. Don't have them sing twice in the month. He should only have to say that once for you to say, okay, well, next time I plan it, I'll put 5 or 6 weeks before I put that group back on instead of 2 weeks. Give them some extra time to practice. But learn his preferences for the services. Then number 3, planning for special programs. Planning for special programs. There are various types of programs. This is not an exhaustive list here, but these are just a few. An Easter or Christmas musical will be like a special program, a missions conference, a preaching conference, or like we're having this week, a leadership conference. A patriotic program will be a special program, a Bible conference, a teen conference, or some kind of a youth conference. How do you plan for these special programs? You're obviously planning on a regular basis for the upcoming Sundays, but what about when you have something that you know is coming in 2 or 3 months and you want it to be extra special? How do you plan for those? Well, letter A, first of all, you have to choose the music. Choose the music. Music will be different for different events. Music will be different for different groups. I think even some of the things we've mentioned already in this session here, I hope that you begin to understand that you want to choose the right music for the setting. Even our conference, the music that we would use in the conference this week is different than the music that we might use for a missions conference. Even the types of songs and the styles of songs. It's just a totally different conference. So you want to make sure that you're choosing the right music. If it's a musical that you're choosing music for, choose it well in advance. Give yourself plenty of time. I would trust that the middle of November you're not sorting through Christmas music trying to figure out what you're going to do for your Christmas program. Hopefully you've had that chosen well in advance. We normally have that chosen probably by about September. I've already listened through probably 4 or 5 Christmas musicals so far in the past 4 weeks now. And right after leadership conference, I'm going to dive back into it and settle on one. And then there's the process of ordering the music and making sure that we get schedules prepared and all the rest of that. But you want to choose your music well in advance. Choose the right level of difficulty. You don't want to choose music that they're not going to be able to have prepared. If you have 8 weeks before your conference, choose music that they can learn in 8 weeks, along with their regular music. You want to choose the right music, the right level of difficulty. But at the same time, let me say this, don't be afraid to push them a little bit. A choir is always going to enjoy a challenge. Don't have all of your music be challenging music, but if you have 3 or 4 songs that you know they'll be able to get in 3 or 4 weeks' time, choose one final song that maybe will take a little extra effort, a little extra practice. And when they accomplish it, they're going to have that sense of achievement, and they're going to be there'll be that excitement, that anticipation of that song, because they know that that's that special song they worked extra hard on. Push your choir a little bit, not too much, and know the limitations there, but be willing to do that. And then letter B. Let me say this: not just choose the music, but form a team. Form a team. You can't do it all yourself. You have to enlist some people. And it may not always be people on the staff. You may not have people on the staff that can help you with it. You may be the only one. But enlist some volunteers. Enlist some people who have maybe some administrative abilities or some musical abilities. If they've got both of them, that's a blessing. But enlist some people. Use discernment, of course, in enlisting those people. Don't just choose any old body to help you with various different parts of the planning process. But try to get some people to help you. Maybe put together a flow chart of various different parts of the musical or parts of the conference. Let me give you just a quick run-through of what some of our flow charts would look like. We have the music director, drama director, extras, people who oversee any extras that we might have, staging, makeup, costumes, nursery. That's an important one. Don't forget about your choir members and the nursery that they're going to need for your special practices. So you maybe have somebody oversee that. That'll relieve anything that you can have somebody else oversee will allow you to focus on the main thing, getting the music ready. It might be video or production. Promotions. We like to do tickets for our musicals. It's a soul-winning tool to commit somebody. Have somebody oversee that if you do something like that. And then, of course, any volunteers. We have ladies come in and they'll put together notebooks, put together binders, put together mailings and things like that. Have some volunteers. And so put together maybe a list of people that can oversee some of these areas. And really, you can have just about anybody who has a heart for the Lord to oversee the volunteers or to oversee the promotions. And it's a way to get people involved, too, and to feel a part of the program or that special day. Give very clear direction and oversight to each member of that team. Don't leave them wondering. Don't go to them and say, okay, you're going to oversee promotions. We'll see you in 4 weeks, you know, and we have the big day. give them very clear direction, very clear oversight. You need to regulate what you delegate. Don't give a task to somebody and then just assume they're going to follow it through to completion. Be checking in on them. And be very thankful for those who are volunteering and helping with you as well, and be encouraging them along the way and training them in that process. What you'll find is that after some years of doing these special days and putting together groups, really what you're doing is you're training and you're equipping these volunteers, and each year it gets more and more fine-tuned, and they become more and more specialized in their area. We have people who for years have been overseeing our I'm not exactly sure what I think we call it our snacks, for lack of a better word. But we have refreshments. I'm sorry, that's what it is. I don't know why snacks came to my mind. But for our musicals, we have refreshments in the lobby. Coffee and water and some cookies and some things like that. We have a family in the church. They don't sing in the choir. But for years, that's what they've done. They're just volunteers. They don't work on staff. But for years, they organize that, and they're really good at it, too. I mean, they get just the right amount of cookies and just the right amount of juice, just the right amount of coffee, and they love doing it. And so as you do this over the years, you're going to be developing and equipping people to do it better and better each time. We need to move along here. Letter C, prepare the presentation. This could be an entire session. You could split this session probably into two. Preparing the presentation. Let me just throw out a few things here. Have a practice schedule for all the groups involved. And that might be a big step for some churches. Put together an entire practice schedule that will be given to them some 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks in advance, with the choir, the orchestra, the drama, the extras, the video, anybody involved. And you may have to adjust that for whatever you might be having in your presentation or in your conference, whatever it might be. If you have ensembles or groups involved, have a list of all of that music on a schedule. Make a practice CD for your choir. Chances are for your conference, you're going to try to get as much music in there as you can. Put together a CD that you can give them 4 weeks out, where they can put it in their car and just be listening. And it might be for a musical, a lot of times they have part CDs, the alto CD, the tenor CD, and so on and so forth. For our conference this week, we put together a CD of all the choir music, and we handed it out probably, what was it, Dave, 4 weeks, 5 weeks out, something like that. I think we gave it to them so that they could have it in their car on their way to work, have it at home, and just play it and, you know, annoy their children because they're playing the same songs over and over again. But it allows them to get ready. And you'd be surprised how much they rely on that CD and appreciate that CD of music. Communicate all along the way. Have two large practices the week before the event. This is something that we've done for years, and it's really helped us. We have a Tuesday night practice, and we have a Saturday practice. Saturday afternoon practice. So let me give you a for instance. If we're having a musical, like a Christmas or an Easter musical, the Tuesday before the presentation, we do the presentation Saturday night and Sunday night. The Tuesday before the presentation, we have a huge practice with anybody involved with lighting, sound. We do all the lighting cues, the miking cues. We practice all the transitions. If anything's happening on the screens, we walk through that. We go through the entire presentation, the drama. They do all of their lines. Any extras that need to be there, that's their time to walk through, to know where to be, when to be. That is our time to, with still some time to make some changes if we need to, make sure everything's in place. It's a Tuesday night walkthrough. Now, our choir does not come in for the Tuesday night practice. That's everybody except choir. Anybody involved really in any way except for choir, and anything like the refreshments and things like that, obviously they wouldn't come to something like that. But anybody involved in the actual presentation, aside from the choir, comes to that Tuesday practice. And then the Saturday practice, we start at about 12 o'clock. Our orchestra comes in at about 11. They warm up, they tune. We really actually do a sound check for the orchestra, make sure all the parts of the orchestra are mic'd properly. They come in at about 11. By 12, the choir's there. We have a time of prayer with the choir, and then we go right into the musical. And this time, the drama's been prepared some. All the lighting cues are in place. All the miking cues are in place. So the choir's not sitting there while we fine-tune those things. That's already been taken care of at the Tuesday practice. On the Saturday practice, this is really just polishing up the presentation, singing through it. So the choir knows when they're singing and what song they're singing, and it's a time to really sing through the songs as well with the choir. Going through the final details on that Saturday. And then, of course, that Saturday night we have a presentation, and Sunday night we have a presentation. Those two big practices, if it weren't for those practices, I think most of our larger productions like that, our musicals and conferences, they would just fall apart. You need a time to sound check everything. You need a time to step back and see how everything's coming in and how everything's fitting together, how everything's working, and making sure that it looks right and is working properly. But let me just give you the last and final point here. Invite the community. Invite the community. You don't want to have something like a musical and have it just for your church. That's good. It's encouraging. But you want to use that as a tool. Our two greatest tools, our greatest soul-winning outreach tools all year are our two musicals. If I were to throw in a third one, it's our Open House Sunday when we have a strong soul-winning emphasis. But our musicals, our Christmas, our Easter musical, people just, they're more receptive at those times to come out. Invite the community. Regular soul-winning is a requirement for anyone involved in our music ministry who's in a position of visible service, of leadership. If you're in the choir, we ask that that they would be at least one soul-winning time a week, and we encourage them in that. And then as you get into ensembles and groups and soloists, obviously those leadership positions have higher responsibilities. But also this, I try to encourage the choir and the groups and those involved with this thought. The only thing that's better than being a part of a large event like a musical and having a part in something like that, the only thing better than that is the blessing of having a lost person in the audience hearing the gospel and hopefully even getting saved. And as a choir member, as just a layman in the church, someone who's a part of your choir, if they have their neighbor, if they have somebody that they invited in the community and they're sitting out there, they're going to sing better. They're going to sing with more intensity. Just like if you've got a guest, a visitor in church with you, you're listening more intently. You want to make sure that you're not in any way being a distraction or you want to make sure that they're getting the message. And as a choir member or as somebody involved in those musicals, it's so much greater when you have somebody in the congregation hearing that gospel presentation. So encourage your choir to be a part of that time where you're inviting the community to those special events. If you haven't noticed by now, music ministry involves a lot of details. I tried to just give you some of the questions, the thought process that goes through my mind as I'm planning some of these things. And there's a lot of fine-tuning, even just the music schedule, the amount of time that it takes to put together a music schedule for a big event, or putting together that CD of practice songs. There's a lot of detail and a lot of time, but he who fails to plan, plans to fail. And so we need to be putting that time into planning.
You've been listening to the Ministry 127 podcast. Today's lesson was on seasonal planning tips for effective music ministry with John Guy. This podcast was designed to equip spiritual leaders to grow in the Word and develop a biblical philosophy of ministry for today's local church. Be sure to let a friend know about ministry127.com. Also, for Christ-honoring publications, please visit strivingtogether.com for resources that encourage spiritual growth and the local church ministry. Thank you for listening to this Ministry 127 podcast.